Let's read for this service Psalm 42 and 43. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. And our text is found in this psalm and the last verse of both psalms. Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 42. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Miser. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterspouts. All your waves and your billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And then going on to Psalm 43, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto your holy hill and to your tabernacles. Then will I go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise you, O God my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. We want to think this evening on the last verses of Psalm 42 and 43, both the same, which say, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. A summary, searchy question. With a splendid summary answer. That's the theme of the sermon. What about for this last worship service of the year 2015, dear congregation? Instead of listening to a sermon now, if I would tell you of another plan, if I would say to you that earlier today, I arranged for at least 50 coffins to be brought upstairs. And that I did so because for this service, I thought, you know, what if each of us would just lay in a closed coffin for 10 to 15 minutes? I bring this up because I read about this in South Korea, which, by the way, has the highest rate of suicides of all countries. There, some funeral homes are offering this service. Yes, come to their home, to the funeral home, straighten out your life, and get your priorities right, and avoid more regrets by just come and laying in a coffin for a while. We'll close it for you, and you just think for 10, 15 minutes about your life and what's your focus and what has been your focus and what should be your focus and how you should maybe change for the better. Now, what do you think? Wouldn't that be a good idea? I mean, instead of the same old preaching, you know. The answer is no, congregation. As novel as the idea might be, and it won't work. It won't help if we did that even. In fact, I'm told that the two main funeral companies in South Korea, they are presently in a real feud because the one is saying that the other company stole this marketing idea from them and they're threatening to sue that other company. You see, you can lay in a coffin and think through matters and determine to straighten out your life and to get your priorities in order, but coming out of the coffin, you take your sinful self still with you. Do you know that there's nothing that will change our lives like the Holy Word of God, blessed by the Holy Spirit? We need that living Word of God to renew us and to strengthen us and to guide us and to lead us in the way we should go and not go. And nothing can replace that Word and the power of that Word. It is by God's Word and Spirit that our lives, yours and mine, truly gets transformed and reformed under God's blessing. As we read in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord, meaning the whole of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, that law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul and making wise the simple. So it's good now that for this last time, 2015, we also come a while under God's Word once more. May God by His Spirit bless us with His gospel word. For our text, this service, as I mentioned, we have before us this last verse of Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. The verses are the same, giving added reason for some saying the two psalms probably originally belong together and are actually one psalm. The text reads, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Let's consider this text under the theme, as mentioned, a summary searching question with a splendid summary answer. What can we say about this summary searching question both these psalms give us? Well, the psalmist is looking to God, but clearly as you read the psalms, he has experienced many hard knocks in life. And he's speaking to himself, asking, where is God in his saving help and comfort? Afflictions and trials, you know, in life can lead to real struggles and wrestlings in faith. Maybe you're at that point now yourself. Where is God when you call upon him and you don't experience him answering your prayers, at least not in the way you had hoped for and thought he surely would? The psalmist in Psalm 42 and 43 was far removed from the temple worship which he used to be able to attend, but because of circumstances difficult in his life, he can't go now and he misses that worship greatly. He was experiencing one setback after another. And he wondered, was God still there for him? He struggled with that question. You can't help but detect the sadness in his life and feel with him in the challenges of life as the psalmist faces enemies around him, enemies within him, and misunderstandings and persecutions from those against him. The psalmist feels depressed. Feels distressed, discouraged, and he cries out to God in his need, asking for his mercy and saving help. He knows for sure only God can bring him the relief and help he needs. He knows that. Only God can help him. So in his agony and his need, he makes this cry actually three times throughout the two psalms, speaking to himself in a prayer of faith, even when nothing much seems to make sense anymore. Why art you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. When he says, why are you cast down? It could mean, why are you bowed down? Why are you just so despairing and despondent? And when he says, why are you disquieted within me? Why are you filled with turbulence and commotion, restless commotion? Hope thou in God. Well, I wonder if you, this last evening of the year 2015, can possibly identify with the psalmist of Psalm 42 and 43. Maybe 2015 wasn't such an easy year for you either. Perhaps you too are struggling, and you have experienced knocks and trials in life, and it's truthfully throwing you for a loop, so to speak. Maybe you're in that very situation. You are not sure where you are at anymore. The struggles with work, with health, with raising the family, maybe the tensions in marriage and with raising the children, maybe with challenges at school, maybe just the threat of growing terrorism and the general increasing unrest in this world is disturbing you. Maybe the new ruling parties and leaders guiding this country and province as we're elected this past year. Maybe the declining church family here because of people moving away or for other reasons. Maybe the loss of mentors and friends like Reverend Ganger suddenly passing away, and maybe a serious illness or a death in your own family, or perhaps a life-shattering broken relationship in your extended family, or maybe just a feeling of such loneliness overall, or a loss of direction. Maybe possibly just simply having so little motivation altogether for life and for living, for God and for good. Maybe spiritually too, you're just feeling so low and blah, and you're overall discontent and unhappy, not joyful nor peaceful. And there are so many temptations as you think back on the year. Temptations to sin that you fail to resist and that you still struggle against, and that sinful flesh is still there always bothering you, and this ungodly world and the mean devil is still there, all still there so much this year and just like the year before. Oh, it could be that all and more has you now so identify with the psalmist of Psalm 42 and 43. Is it how you feel also as we end this year and are about to start a new year? Could that be? Here you have a summary, searching question that describes you and your situation right now, even this night. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Yet will you notice with me how the psalmist here is doing a good thing, in that he is asking this question to himself or herself before the Lord. You see, he's not letting his circumstances nor his feelings to control him and to determine his life now. No, but rather he's analyzing his life before the unchanging, merciful, faithful God whose loving kindness he knows fails not, as brought out in verse 8 of Psalm 42. And notice, the psalmist calls, even in his deep grief and struggles, he still calls his God his exceeding joy, as expressed in Psalm 43, verse 4. In both these, quote, sadly beautiful psalms, as one called them, you can't but help notice the faith in God that's expressed here still. Well, is this same your prayer and care to this evening? As we move on from 2015 to 2016, the question is not now simply, are you feeling down with the psalmist of Psalm 42 and 43? No, but are you trusting God as the years go by, also in and through your down times and your hard times and your sad times in life, which comes at us at different times? Tonight, once more, once more this year, the Lord invites us to cast all our care upon Him. All those sins and shortcomings in your life still, and that sinful nature yet so prone to falter and fail, bring it to God, pleading His mercy and grace. That sorrow and grief too, of loss of loved ones, or that heavy family burden or trial, health trial, maybe one of the children or one of your loved ones that doesn't go away, bring it to God. Or your financial struggles, bring it to God. Or your questions, what now? What shall I do now? I finished my studies. Where do I go? What do I pursue further? Which road shall I follow? Oh, bring it all to the Lord. So that as you leave this year and go into the next, you can do so with calmness of mind and heart, and with peace in your soul, and comfort and joy still, regardless your circumstances and regardless the future. How many, sadly, on New Year's Eve, I mentioned it in my prayer already, want nothing to do with being serious and thinking soberly on life and the course of life and the path of life and the frailty of life and the purpose of life that we follow. Ironically, the one day that's set aside to be mindful of time and the passing of time is the one day people do everything to try not to be mindful of it. The liquor stores make their highest profits at this time of the year. People plan hard. They really plan hard and well ahead to enter the new year mostly mindless and thoughtless and often careless. I pray it may never be the case of any of us that we plan a New Year's party in which we already plan on getting a ride home by someone sober in case we might drink too much alcohol and become unfit to drive. Of course, we should never drink and drive either, but never as confessing Christians should we plan on allowing ourselves little self-restraint and lack of self-control in regards to alcohol or other substance that's harmful to us when it's taken in too much measure. For how many people who do so, isn't the result also that they actually begin the new year with no real hope, no real comfort or joy, and perhaps already with new and more regrets because they may be drinking too much, they make and say foolish things and maybe perhaps do immoral things which they will really regret, even just as the new year begins. And the new year beginning is spoiled already then. How many people are so stressed as the new year rings in because nothing is resolved as the years go by and the regrets and burdens and debts just become greater and heavier, and so they slug on and on, but they have is no relief, no release from anything. And they live little different than the animals actually. For how many people, what keeps them going is temporary flings, temporary good times out, or a flashing, dashing new toy which satisfies for a short while, but soon enough again, all is vanity of vanities, and the regular drudgery of life continues, and it's all just that, vanity of vanities. To live apart from God is meaningless, so the Bible says. But how wonderful when instead we can be like the psalmist here of Psalm 42 and 43, coming to the Lord with our questions and struggles by God's grace and asking Him for His help and direction and comfort also as the years go by. The psalmist's questions are summary, searching questions. So realistic in life's journey, which he asks before God, and from God, we know the psalmist, he has a splendid summary answer for all his questions. We have it in the Psalms that we read. Indeed, don't you see this too in both Psalms, how the psalmist knew with God there was remedy to his distress. There was help in his discouragement. There was hope in his struggles. Why does God's Word and God triune in the Word, as revealed in Christ, provides splendid summary answers for us in all our struggles and troubles and doubts and fears and hurts and needs in life. Well, the answer is because God wrote His Word for us exactly out of a special care for us and our salvation. And besides the Word written, we have the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ Himself, come to this sin-cursed, fallen world to be the Savior of sinners. Hope thou in God. That doesn't mean have a hopeless, pacifying hope, maybe, that God will help. No, but it's a jubilant trust in God that He is the helper of us in all our needs, in His mercy and grace as revealed in Christ. We just reflected, didn't we, on Jesus coming to this earth. He came to be Savior of sinners. He came to die the death we deserve, and He came to live the perfect life God requires from us. You can say His life can be summarized in this simple way as the sin-atoning, God-pleasing, once-for-all sacrifice by which sinners like us, you and me, may be reconciled to God and received as His dear adopted children whom the Lord cares for with so much love. Turning from sin and trusting Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord, we may know God loves us and God will take care of us and God will lead us in the way everlasting, come what may, in life's journey. And that means with each passing year, when we are by His by grace through faith in Him, He will lead us onward and forward and upward in victory through life. Also through the hard times, He will lead us also to eternal glory through death when we breathe our last. When saying goodbye to another year, when you are a Christian, we can leave the year behind, 2015, with a clean record and a clear conscience. You can't pay for that, but Jesus gives us that, trusting Him. And we can face the new year with great hope and confidence because if God is for us, who can be against us with success? And what can be against us with success? If God is with us and for us, what can be negatively against us ultimately as the years go by? Are we not more than conquerors through Him that loved us, no matter what has been or what is and what is to come? Come what may, all is well when God is our refuge and strength, when He is our hope and salvation. That's the gospel truth. And how good it is to be reminded of this also one more time, this last evening of the year 2015. And again, doesn't the psalmist here confess this reality wonderfully in both psalms, saying to himself, hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The word for health, in health of my countenance, refers literally to salvation. It's literally salvation in the Hebrew. Our health, our help, is our salvation from God for us, as revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. The Savior God cares for His people in their every need, in body and soul, in life and death, for now and forevermore. And with the Lord, you know, is such fullness of salvation that there isn't a need or a care or a worry or a burden or a trouble or a sorrow or grief or sin or evil or tear or challenge or temptation or decision that He can't and won't provide remedy and help for and in, even as you and I call on Him for His mercy and help. Endless resources of mercy and saving power and wisdom are freely offered and granted to us in and through Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior and the Comforter, whom God the Father and the Son have sent to this earth, and His Word. That's the absolute gospel truth. And also as we end 2015 and begin 2016, in the crazy times that we are in, the Lord changes not. What a comfort this is. Does anyone among us here especially need to be reminded of this special gospel reality? True forgiveness of sin, real comfort in sorrow, almighty encouragement in distress, light in darkness, peace in turmoil, calm in storm, relief and release from regrets, help in trouble, guidance in confusion, love in loneliness, hope in despair, deliverance in temptation, escape from Satan, life in death, growth in grief, grace and glory in tribulation and trial, all come from Him, our Savior God, as revealed in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer. How good to realize in this regard what Jesus Himself all suffered and endured as sin-bearer and Savior when He was here on earth to bring about salvation in all our needs, in all our lifetime. You know, a good way to think of Jesus' sufferings and trials that He endured is to reflect on how Psalm 42 and 43 actually really describe Jesus' own life here on earth. Oh, how He was assaulted by enemies outside of Him and all around Him, including those of His own family and covenant people. How Jesus was taunted and scoffed and mocked, and how He was kept from the sweet presence of His heavenly Father when He, as sin-bearer, especially on the cross of Golgotha, suffered and died to save such as we. Who can describe all that Jesus went through to obtain salvation for undeserving sinners like you and me? While the Savior Himself was without sin, we know God laid on Him the iniquities of all His elect people, and Jesus had to pay the full and eternal punishment for all that sin and sinfulness. We can feel pity for the human psalmist of Psalm 42 and 43, but what about the Savior of sinners? Even as He bled and died outside the city gates of Jerusalem on the cross of Golgotha and was made a curse on behalf of sinners like us, that He might deliver us from all the woe we deserve. How true what someone wrote in poem about Jesus' sufferings. Blessed Jesus, in your sorrow, friends and kindred passed you by. You alone could never borrow the support of sympathy. When your human heart was bursting, when your parched lips were thirsting, when encompassed with the foe, mocking at your bitter woe, you who had a heart for all, drank alone your cup of gall. How true, though unfathomable, this all is. When the psalmist speaks in Psalm 42, verse 7b, about how all the waves and billows are gone over me, how this was so ultimately and climactically so for Christ, the Savior of sinners, when He, as the just for the unjust, gave Himself for to reconcile sinners like us to God. And surely, dear congregation, beloved in the Lord, this all calls for us at the end of another year, as confessing Christians, as Christian congregation, for us to say, thank you, O Lord God Almighty, God of our salvation. Thank you, dear Father, for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of sinners, coming to this earth, whatever it costs, to save such as us. Thank you, O Holy Spirit, using the gospel word to guide us to Jesus and to have us confess Him as only Savior and Lord. Thank you, as the years go by, that your compassions fail not and that your mercies endure forever. Thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for the ministry of the word to us, even when we have been so undeserving time and again. What a rock of salvation God's people have, trusting and following after the Lord and staying with Him. What can help us truly end this year well and begin this new year with hope and resolve, with joy and zeal, with a skip and a beat, we might say? What can help us except by time and again coming to God with the summary, searching question of Psalm 42 and 43 with its splendid summary answer? Hoping in God, we shall not be put to shame. And what reasons there are to praise and magnify His name. Even so, let me ask you at this time, as we have this last service, will you so look to the Lord and lean on Him as we move from 2015 to 2016? Will you this night praise the Lord for His faithfulness, grace, and love to you another year? For His goodness to you? His mercy? Will you pray to, as we move on from one year to the next, to ever stay with God and with His Word and to love and to serve Him, yes, even more than last year and the year before? Are we not here this service for this very reason, in fact, namely to acknowledge the Lord as the giver of every true blessing and the hope of all future blessings as the years come and go? What can lead to true and lasting reformation and transformation of life in love to God and love to our neighbor for now and for the future? What can lead to that except for the gospel, blessed by the Holy Spirit in our lives? What can result in resolutions for good in your life and mine, resolutions that last and that become more and more realized in our lives to God's glory and for our neighbor's benefit, including our families? Oh, it's the gospel word. It's the gospel word of the love of God for us as made known in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Yes, it's hearing and knowing by God's Spirit in your heart, as we will be singing in a short while, those words about our gracious, merciful God, so mindful of us in our earthly pilgrimage here and now. I mean, just take in these words that we get to sing shortly based on Psalm 103. Mindful of our human frailty is the God whom we trust. He whose years are everlasting, He remembers we are dust. Man is like the tender flower, and his days are like the grass, withered where it flourished by the blighting winds that pass. Changeless is Jehovah's mercy unto those who fear His name, from eternity abiding to eternity the same. All the faithful to His covenant shall behold His righteousness. He will be their strength and refuge, and their children's children bless. Surely what reason words like these and a song like that gives for living hopefully and keeping on, however challenging life may be or become, keeping on in God's ways and to His praise. Don't you agree with me on this? If there's anyone here who doesn't know the Lord, surely you'll come to Him, won't you? I may be having the privilege yet tonight to invite you still to come to the Savior. To come. You know about sorrows and struggles in your life, I'm sure. And you know, if you're honest too, about being guilty of sin and being a sinner in your life as well. Well, without Jesus the Savior, there is no real answer to all of life's challenges. No true deliverance from sin and from Satan and from death and from hell. And there's no solution to all the miseries and meaninglessness of life apart from God. And then, you know, if you stay apart from Him, you need to realize all the miseries and hard times here below are just a dismal foretaste of far worse to come in the place hereafter, where God will send all the wicked and unbelieving. But the Bible says, and the Lord still tonight calls through His Word, come to Him, come to Him. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and He's still out to offer pardon and peace to all. He's still calling, even this night. God delights in mercy in and through His Son, and He will cast out none who come to Him, praying, God be merciful to me as I end another year with so many shortcomings, and help lead me onward as I cannot go on without You. God will hear you. And what blessings and what fullness of life and newness of life you will find in and through Christ, trusting and following Him. You'll never regret it, trusting and following Him. but not doing so, refusing to hear him, going on in your own ways, and living and dying that way, oh, you will forever mourn and regret such wicked and thankless and unbelieving response to the gospel. But then it will be too late to change. Today is the day of salvation. It's not possible after your death or after Christ has returned for the last judgment. Let no one among us here not hear the gospel's call, the Savior's call, this night. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the house of my countenance and my God. What a summary, searching question with a splendid summary answer. Do you agree with me on this, dear congregation belonging to Christ? Then you will agree too, surely, that much more effective and beneficial than lying in a coffin for a few moments, 10, 15 minutes tonight, much more beneficial is just reading and hearing Psalm 42 and 43 and listening to a sermon in light of it. You know, only the Christian actually has reason to celebrate the passing of time. The passing of each old year and dawning of each new year gives reason for so much praise and thanksgiving to God and anticipation for what is yet to come, whether we live or die. That's the truth for God's people. You see, I know as a Christian by God's grace, I know one day I will lie in a coffin. But Christ has been in the grave ahead of me. And he transformed life, death, and eternity for a sinner like me in his grace and mercy, giving reason for me to go on my way rejoicing, whatever the years may bring. Jesus' first coming drives home the fact that there is forgiveness of sin with God and victory over sin and evil. And Christ's second coming, who knows how soon it will be now? It guarantees for us that God in Christ will one day make all things right. And he will make everything new for all his people. Oh, the Christian faith and gospel is so wonderfully positive good news for all who have ears to hear. In fact, can't we say it gets better and more precious for God's people as the years go by? Don't you find that too? My greatest longing, also with all the sorrows and trials in life still, which seem to be mounting more and more, indeed, as the years go by, my greatest longing is ever to stay true to the Lord and his word, and always to serve him and those around me, being a gospel light in this dark, perishing world, still lost in sin and misery apart from God. Isn't that your greatest longing too, by God's grace? Oh, may God so bless us by his Spirit and word as we move on tonight with 2015 forever behind us and 2016 now before us. A summary searching question with a splendid summary answer. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in him. I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So let me end this sermon then, quoting from the Apostle Paul from Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.